Previously on DDFP.
Fly, red bird, and red flag, fly. Do it. Go ahead.
Whoa, I'm taking the Lions.
The fourth turnover of the half for the Lions.
Red challenge, flag hit.
I almost added a little something to it. I feel like your finger was going up.
I like the little ghosty one. There's one that's a little bit shorter than all the other guys.
The San Diego Chargers get it done at home. Qualcomm.
I don't like that, and you're not supposed to analyze it.
Well,
now I'm angry.
Rah-rah, Carolina, go to hell.
What was that? I'm not sure I even know what that little flourish at the end was all
about. That's part of it.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek, what's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program presented by McDonald's. All day breakfast. Every day. Who couldn't love that? I don't know the answer to that question. So let's jump into talking about pro football. We've shaken things up here at the 11th hour. In fact, it's like 11:58 on our clock here because we're ready to put this show out on Tuesday. But of course, Monday night's deeds in San Diego require that we visit quickly with our pal Ike Taylor. What's the poop, fella?
Man, I'm just checking around.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to see you as always. And previously, to let you in on what we did, late on Monday afternoon, me, Handsome Hank, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Ike Taylor sat down. We'll have that for you in just a matter of minutes here as we went through all of Sunday's action and Thursday night action. Great stuff from Ike. I'm just going to, little spoiler alert here. I thought it was a fascinating comment you made that it had Andrew Luck started the game against the Texans, they would have lost that game, and I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I think people are going to get mad at me, Sheck, when I say that. But let Andrew Luck get all the way healthy. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for him to rush back. Matt Hasselbeck has been playing solid, real legit. People forget he's been very successful in the NFL. He's just 40, so really nobody never heard of him. But the last two games, Sheck, when you want to talk about a guy who's managing that team, putting the team in great situations pretty much every time he can, calling audibles, diagnosing the defense, not turning the ball over, that's Matt.
Yeah, it's interesting. And let me tell you what's coming up otherwise here. Ike is going to break down his top five cornerbacks in the NFL. Not quarterbacks, but cornerbacks. 24 was a good one himself for a dozen years in pro football. We're going to look at Monday Night Football, like I say. We'll visit with the Around the NFL boys, Hanzus and Rosenthal. And we're going to power rank the undefeated teams and see who can be a part of that conversation when the year's all done, which teams that have taken a loss or two are going to be in the mix come January. Right now, though, let's talk about Monday Night Football. A grand one for the Steelers, a heartbreaker for the Chargers, and I guess we can talk about this in a minute, but Roethlisberger already wants to come back and play against Carson Palmer. I mean, against Bruce Arians, I guess, specifically, and whether or not they should stick with Mike Vick until 7 is fully healthy. Let's talk very important stuff, and like I say, it is that game there, and let's start at the end of things from Monday night by looking at the drive that Mike Vick put together after what was, even by his own admission, a woeful, 45-ish, 50-ish minutes of the game. I mean, he threw three balls, two of which should have gone back to the house against the Steelers.
See, this has been his go-to guy.
Like everybody, Darius Hayward Bay.
Everybody been looking for A.B. Speaking of A.B., you know, A.B. quietly.
Used it as a decoy, right?
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of attention. So you got to understand, this is the Vic I want to see right here.
Like running the football.
I don't want to see the in the pocket trying to throw the ball. Hey, man, when everything breaks down, that's a good pass. When everything breaks down, I need you to scramble and run because that's the Vic I know. And that's your game, and I can respect that game. On the other hand, you got three monsters around. You got D'Angelo. You got Heath Miller. You got A.B. Now you got the coming of a so-called bust, Darius Hayward Bay, who's coming along. Like that's been Vic go-to guy. Why? Because he's been getting all the one-on-one matchups. Everybody's been doubling and watching out for A.B. So now on the other hand, man, I got two running backs back there. And we saw a little pistol. We saw a little pistol last night.
I love that. And to me, I've been bellyaching for a week and a half about the poor decision-making as I saw it. Todd Haley, and it's not 2020 hindsight, in the moment, I was thinking, saying in overtime, in third quarter, in short and third on third and short and fourth and short. Give it to 26. Keep riding him. I think Tomlin and Haley and everybody else in the Steelers organization must have been listening to Damashek, because you could feel from the first series on that that was their goal. They're going to ride 26 so long as 7 is down.
You saw the Wildcat in the first series.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You saw D'Angelo and Le'Veon on the field at the same time, including Mike Vick. So technically, that's three running backs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
Mike Vick is always a threat when it comes down to running the ball. But, man, you got to give the Le'Veon. Like, Le'Veon, man, just being a professional from his first year to his third year, he's done everything you asked him to do, professional-wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a moment last year, and he paid his price for the moment. He did his time. So now you're seeing what the man is doing. I tell people all the time, 2.9% body fat. So we go from 237 in college to 211, my third year in the NFL. I know what it takes. Basically, that's what Le'Veon telling me. Like, I know what it takes to be a complete running back. Then when you saw the post-game show last night after the game, he was like, I felt good last year. I was at 4% body fat last year. I felt good. I want to see if I can feel better this year. So I want to lose weight. How I'm going to do that? I'm going to work my butt off. Now I'm going to watch and monitor what I eat. So basically, as a young kid, he telling me, this guy really gets it as a professional. Mm-hmm. And you see it week in and week out when he's on the field. I just like the atmosphere 7, and I mean it, Ben Roethlisberger, how he's kind of took in Vic under his wing.
Did he, I mean, Roethlisberger says after the game that he designed the rollout, or at least it wasn't in last night's Vic playbook.
Vic said that. Like, yeah. After the game in the post-game
ball to Wheaton, which churns Vic, the court. You felt the game was
Vic
over.
Vic said Roethlisberger saw something throughout the game and drew that play up on the sideline. That's growth for me from just looking from a distance from 7 to Vic. So now it's like Vic looking at a situation, I've always had to carry the load. I've always been the man. But now I got a whole team who's rallying behind me. I have no other choice but to play good. So now when I do mess up, I feel some kind of way about that. You know what I'm saying? So, and you can say Le'Veon and AB, like he was talking to AB. Even though AB wasn't getting the ball, he was still going to the sideline, sitting down, talking to AB. You know what I'm saying? So you still saw Vic and Ben talk. That says a lot. That's why I'm mad. Like, if we're going to get Vic, man, let me at least play with Vic one day. Quietly, we're not going to talk about this defense. This defense has been balling.
You know what? That is an undercovered story. Everybody decided in the offseason, and in fact a couple of seasons ago, that the Steelers defense is no longer the Steelers defense. But it is transitioning now. It is very quietly playing well. Now it becomes Bruce Arians and the mighty Arizona Cardinals. Do you suspect, I know Roethlisberger, because of the relationship with Arians, wants to play against him, but you talk to Coach Tomlin, do you suspect that he'll put Roethlisberger in there, or is it better to go with two for another week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with two for another week. If I can get 7 all the way healthy, 100% is better than 89%. Mm-hmm. 97% is better than 78%. If I can get him in the 90s, almost to that 100, I'm going to go ahead and sit this man down, because everybody know our game plan. What's the game plan? Give it to Le'Veon. Mm-hmm. Make them stop Le'Veon. And if they stop Le'Veon, now we can start A-Bing. Now we can start going to Heath, Darius Haywood Bay. Can't wait for Brian Martavis. Brian still haven't came back yet. When he gets back,
right,
it's going to be a whole nother story. Matter of fact, I'm a wildcat this thing sometimes too. So their mind is made up. Like I told Coach T this morning, like, man, you got some big kahunas calling that play. Because everybody on that goal line play, when you see Le'Veon in the backfield, he's running left or right.
Well,
1 or 2.
To me, you know, this again is not 2020 hindsight. In the moment, that is the right decision there. And, you know, I think the only maybe miscalculation, talking about the last play of the game, the goal line to direct snap it to Bell, I think it's, you know, yeah, it's a, like you say, big kahunas to make that, that big cojones. I don't, kahuna is like a surfing thing of some sort, I believe. Either way, yes, it's the right thing to do there. What's the better bet? To try and force an overtime and see in a 50-50 proposition if you can get that close again with a rookie kicker who hasn't done anything, or to roll with the best running back in the NFL or one of the top two or three at the very least and see if he can make 1 yard and pull the game out? And by the way, They did have that timeout. They still could have called the timeout. I know everybody says the clock expired, but in fact, if you look back at it, there was a second left on the clock. They would have gotten the timeout. I think Haley and Tomlin, I almost called him Cowher, and Tomlin probably forgot about the fact that Bell is such a patient runner that he spun in a couple extra seconds off the clock. When you see 5 seconds left and you're going to direct snap it, you figure, oh, we'll have time to call the timeout. It was a great call, is the bottom line to me. I don't understand saying it was they got lucky and
they won.
Survived.
Like, what are we talking about? They didn't lose. That was a good call. They won. It was a 1 yard.
The mistake was not giving it to 26 against the Ravens.
Yeah,
it was.
So obviously they learned that. They learned from that mistake last week against Baltimore. Like, hey, these people are right. If we have Le'Veon in our backfield, and it comes down to this situation, we gonna give this man the ball, and that's what they did. But on the flip side, what I really wanted to say was Antonio Brown, his unselfishness. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He can pout all day if he want to, because by far, when Seven is there, he is the best receiver in the world. He's not doing none of that. So what I see from AB is another growth kind of guy. Same thing I'm seeing with Le'Veon. Like, man, you know I'm the best receiver in the world. You know I run the best routes in the world. You know I'm 5'10", and they still having 2 and 3 guys checking me. Usually that happens with a guy who's 6+. You know what I'm saying? But now I'm just coming over there, just checking on Vic. Hey, Vic, what you see? Hey, I might be open on some of these crossing routes, man. Look at me sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Instead of pouting or making a big scene, he's not doing that. He can, but he's not doing that.
If you were paying attention, you are 100% correct. I could just see it on the TV
he understands
AB is open in those crossing routes.
It's about the
right
team.
Yep.
And I like that.
Well, it's interesting, and it was really a must-win after the letdown against Baltimore. Now it makes it so that they don't have to beat Arizona. Meantime, San Diego falls to 2-3, and Phil Rivers, as good as he looks, most of the time there, that's a tough loss with Antonio Gates, a tough one for them to suffer. All right, here's the good news, Ike Taylor. I appreciate you coming in here, and now on the other side of seeing Football Baby and how he did with his Week 5 picks, it's going to be Ike Taylor, MJD, and Handsome Hank. So stick around, and then, like I say, Greg Rosenthal and Dan Hanzus and I are going to chop up the undefeated teams and who's the best among those teams. But Football Baby, 3-1. All right, here we go now, joined in our semicircle of truth, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, and back from England, there he is, everybody, it's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank. Hello, Handsome. How are you? And welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here among friends again.
Yes. Well, and away from the Miami Dolphins,
dumpster
fire.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into it, everybody, shall we? And Handsome, actually, you got to do something. The Dolphins game itself in London wasn't so good.
It was not.
But you did get to meet up with your all-time favorite professional athlete, huh?
That is true. Yeah. I managed to spend a little moment with Dan Marino.
Number 13 of the Miami Dolphins and the Pitt Panthers, too, by the way, before that. Let's take a look at Handsome meeting up with his idol, Danny Marino. Look
at
that.
Nice. That's nice, isn't it?
That's me on the left with an 18-year-old Dan Marino.
Really?
Yeah, that's Pitt Stadium.
I thought you were older than Dan. I'm not going to lie. Because I haven't seen Dan in a long time. I haven't seen Dan in a long time. But he's old.
He's old, but he looks good still.
He's Handsome Hank.
Yes.
Why is he so far away from you?
Well, because we didn't want to get too close. Like we're not on touching terms yet.
Okay.
Not like Dave and MJD.
I'm not
touching terms. It's before he was a big star there. Yeah, Dan Marino. He would go shoulder to shoulder with a young Damashek, but now that he's big time Hall of Famer.
Did you have curls?
I don't know. The hair,
Can we
curls.
Run that back? Can we check the curls?
Was that curls?
Maybe the hair was running a little bit long. It was another time. It was another style.
Hey, slack tie.
Okay.
Dan had curls.
Are you wearing a dress?
Is that a girl?
Of some kind as well.
That's not a dress, right? That's not a girl.
So that was, I guess that's Danny Marino's freshman season. So that would have been round about 79, 80-ish.
Here's what happened since for Marino, 61K through the air, Hall of Famer.
Hey, MJ, why you smile like this, MJ?
I know, that don't even look like you. Shaq, that's why
I had a beard.
When I first met you, I was like, who is this guy talking to me? Because I didn't recognize you from that picture. You look completely different.
Hey, so be it. Handsome.
That's like a younger you. That's like a 20-year-old you right
there. That is me last year. I just didn't have a beard yet. Hey, that's all. Take that away. I'm done with that thing. I do. You know what, though? I look handsome there, and I look handsome with a beard. And that actually makes me think of Handsome Hank, because I just had a conversation before we got going here with our stage director out here, Rhoda. She likes to talk about these things. She told me that she thinks Handsome Hank has a good name because he is, in fact, handsome, according to her.
Good.
Rhoda, please come here for a minute. I want to ask you something real quick. Please come here. Please, please. Time's a wasting. I'd like you to quickly, Rhoda, if you wouldn't mind here, rank everybody 1 through 4 in terms of handsomeness. Not in personality. Just I want you to see, how would you lay this thing out here?
Handsome, MJD, you.
Hey! I got number 2. Ike
is not number 2.
Don't do it, Ike.
What do you think about that, Ike?
Back down at the bottom. I got to start at the top.
You gotta work his way up.
It's a lot I got to work on. I understand that.
Handsome Hank is number 1 out of the 4 of us.
That doesn't surprise me.
I think it's a humiliation for the other 3 of us. All right, okay. Let's talk about pro football week 5. The Denver Broncos now go to 5-0. And as far as I'm concerned, this must be very confusing for Gary Kubiak, for their fans, for Peyton Manning himself, because the defense is dominant, but Peyton Manning is about as bad. I mean, listen, you know, we talked last Sunday to Steve Wyche, who was at the game, and he said, now, listen, you can't call Peyton Manning, say he's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now because Colin Kaepernick is far worse. But are we even sure about that? I mean, in terms of passer rating, he's way down at the bottom. He's 30th. How confusing, how far, I guess, can the Broncos go, MJD, with Peyton Manning playing the way he is?
Well, I think if they go back to his offense, they'll be fine. But right now, they're trying to do that mix of his offense and Gary Kubiak's and all those things going on. That's not going to work. You got to strictly run that Peyton, throw the ball first, run the ball second offense, and then let that defense win games for you.
But, man, he can't even throw the ball anymore, Ike.
Yeah, but we're talking about this with Andy Dalton. Like, quarterbacks who are used to the shotgun, it's hard for them to turn their backs towards the defense. So, I mean, at the same time, you're getting the best of both worlds when you want to talk about an offensive coordinator. Yeah, you don't like turning your back, but I'm gonna have to make you turn your back because I know come down playoff time, we're going to have to run the ball a little bit and the play-action pass is going to come into effect. So I get it, but I feel the same way MJD do, man. Once you let them pass first, then start running, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning.
The trial and error of things, 17 years in, he has the 1 Lombardi trophy. There's some people out there, I don't know if they're outsmarting themselves or trying to convince themselves of this, but there are people out there saying, this is actually good for the Broncos. This is good for Peyton Manning. This brand of ball is going to work come January. How say you, Hanson?
Well, the brand is that the defense is winning the games, and then he should be handing the ball off. The problem for me is, like, that second pick that Charles Woodson had yesterday, I glanced up from my computer and looked at it. I thought it was in slow-mo, the way that the ball got there. It was traveling so slowly, and Woodson had the time to get, like, halfway across the field. I mean, it was a great pick, but he had a lot of time to get there.
They're both old.
Right.
That's what happens.
His legs are going faster than the ball, though.
Well, I think the biggest question, though, is their offensive line. They can't block a soul. And so right now, you can talk about the playoffs all you want, but if you can't run the ball, which they can't.
I mean, you got to understand, outside of Denver, of throwing the deep ball, Woodson did a good job of, like, hey, I know there's a 9 route going, but he's probably going to throw the 7 cut, meaning go ball on the 9 route, corner route by the inside guy. He's probably going to throw the 7 cut, man. I'm going to take my chances and bite on this. So he read it perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, let's take a look at that pick that Handsome's talking about. 3 picks again for Peyton. 6 touchdown passes, 7 INTs already this season. Like I say, 30th among starting QBs or guys that are at the minimum standard there. Here's what else is messed up. Damashek and Damashek's prognostication in 2015 so far. I've made a lot of bad picks, and as you guys have heard me...
You made a lot of picks as well. Well, let's be honest, each week you pick both teams to win in different places.
That's not true at all. That's an unfair charge to put against me. That's not at all.
It's been proven in many places.
We've already talked about a couple charges against you that are true.
Right.
That's absolutely not true. I'm being assaulted verbally and otherwise so far.
You can't hold water.
You can't. You got diarrhea by the mouth.
Yeah. I don't have that, but I definitely, You're right. I can't hold my water. You're right about that.
No, not your water.
Every Sunday, we sit out on the stage. We sit, as a matter of fact, right here. We watch all the games for 7 hours, and sometimes I have to get up.
I didn't say that.
No.
What?
You can't keep a secret.
You can't keep a secret.
Listen, that is so untrue. I don't know where such a charge comes from.
It just came. We just diagnosed that.
Well, I don't know. You've never confided anything in me. So
yeah, it did.
You have?
You told on me.
I didn't tell on you, but you know what? I'm telling on myself first. I'm going to be a man.
What's second?
Well, let me start with
you're
this.
You're going to tell on me second.
I'm going to tell you know, at the end of Dirty Dancing, you know, the late, great Jerry Orbach says to the late, great Patrick Swayze, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. It's the Orbach rule. It's the Orbach factor. Damashek, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And a team in the Broncos division, the Kansas City Chiefs, I didn't just say was going to win that division. I said they were going to go to the Super Bowl this year. And when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. The Kansas City Chiefs are not going to the Super Bowl this year, not without Jamaal Charles. But you know what? I'm not the only one who said some things that were wrong. I've said that Andy Dalton will never win a Super Bowl. Is that fair, MJD?
No, not at all.
You think he can win a Super Bowl?
Definitely.
You buy that?
I buy it. I'm an Andy Dalton fan.
When we sat out and on NFL Now Game Day Blitz on Sunday, at the very start of it, at 10:02 a.m. out here on the West Coast, you said, I think Andy Dalton is going to beat the Seahawks. I think he is playing better. All the stuff of Andy Dalton 2014 and in the past is in the rearview mirror. This is a new Andy Dalton. I said false. And now I'm the one who has egg on my face. Ike, how say you?
Why are you doing my way?
I'm just curious how you feel about this.
Man, Andy Dalton made me a believer yesterday. So, obviously, I didn't think Andy Dalton was going to jump that hurdle, but he did jump that hurdle. I mean, the man got game-winning drives. They came back from 24-7 in the second half. Mm-hmm. He was dropping the ball in the buckets yesterday. He was only placing the ball where only his receivers can get it. I mean, the defense had tight coverage for the most part of the game. Andy Dalton was just throwing good passes. Me and MJD talked about it earlier. He was sliding in the pocket. He kept his eyes down the field. So he was giving me everything I didn't like about Andy Dalton yesterday.
See, I didn't throw you under any bus. I just said that I was wrong in my opinion.
After
I didn't say I
had. We had like a 40-minute argument before this even came about.
That's true.
You tried to make
that's where this is coming from, that I can't keep a secret. Ike, it's not a secret if you say it when there are cameras pointed at us and it's being put out to the world.
Everybody's not watching. But since you said it, they're going to start to watch.
What about Josh McCown?
Josh is pretty good right now. He's playing good football. I mean, you got to give it to the man. I mean, later on, he's going to turn into the guy I know. He's going to turn into that guy
is
I
he?
Know. But for the most part, man, he 300, 400 yards. You can't deny him. You can't deny the man right now.
What do you think about this?
I told you so.
You did say, MJD is in a juicy spot here to say I told Dave and Ike a few things.
I'm just rolling
use
in general.
Name. Just say your name. You ain't got to say
your
name.
You're right. That's fair.
Me and Ike, we got something else going on. But you, I told you.
I see. So your thing rises above. But me, now I'm untrustworthy for exposing Ike's. These are on record, your comments.
I feel some kind of way like you threw me under the bus. Then you roll back. True. You put it in reverse.
Handsome Hank, how say you? What do you think about Josh McCown, how he's been performing?
Yeah,
go ahead, weigh in on me.
I know that you're not good at keeping secrets.
That's just not true. I don't understand where this comes from.
I mean, it's been like that forever.
It's consistent.
It's all good. Fine. You shouldn't worry about it. You like to speak. You like to talk. People like to tell you stuff, and then you like to tell other people the same stuff.
I feel attacked by all of you. And I'm very disappointed in all of you. Hey, real quick, I do want to go back, actually, to not the performance by Andy Dalton, but the team he did it against. Is this now a trend with the Seahawks defense? Anything to read into the fact that if we go back to the Super Bowl, 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, they give that one away, lose that game. They should have lost to the Packers, in fact, and 2 weeks before that. They really lost that game up in Seattle if it weren't for 8 different blunders in the second half. They really gave that one away, too. Now you go to 2015. They lost to Nick Foles. They had a lead, and they gave up a lead to Nick Foles and lost in overtime there. Now they should have lost to Detroit in Week 4. Now they do give up, like you say, 24-7 lead to Cincinnati. Is this an ugly trend for, and is the mystique gone from this Seahawks D, Handsome Hank?
I think that the issue's more around their offense, to be honest with you.
Okay, like Hank. Something. I see you knowing something about ball.
Thank you, MJD.
That's one for
it
Hank.
It means a lot coming from you.
You're welcome.
Their defense, like, it's not playing as well as it has done the last 2-3 years, but their offense is a mess. Really is.
Hey, don't forget, they scored on defense.
Yep. That is true.
I know you got you said that previously, Ike, but the fact is, I mean, they're 24-7. They have a 17-point lead. A dominant defense doesn't give up. You know, I know I don't have to tell Ike Taylor this, but under Bill Cowher and under Dick LeBeau, I mean, what was it, one time in a 15-year run?
I mean, they scored on defense. Your percentages when you score on defense is pretty high. So you take away that 7 away from the defense, then what your offense produce? How many points your offense put up?
17.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, let's be
That's
fair.
Good enough. Like you're underestimating how well that Bengals offense played as well.
But again, I'm not just putting it on that one game. I'm putting this on a series of games over the last right. 8 or so games they've played.
I'll say
they've
this,
given up
though,
some big leads.
When your offense goes three and out, your defense is on the field more exposure. Mm-hmm. Teams get more chances to try to crack that defense. And finally, as of late, they've been on the field a lot, and teams are finding the secret, the recipe to beat them.
All right, then now let's talk about Josh McCown. I mean, to me, I would like to have seen Johnny Football, but I can't really argue against now what Josh McCown has done.
I mean,
457.
You can't deny the man. I still like Johnny Football. I'm going to rock with Johnny Football till they kick him out. But at the same time, Josh, man, he's just on the road. He's making the tight end. He's creating the tight end.
Bonnage.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's
Look
creating
at him
the tight
sliding
end.
The pocket. Find
you know
your
what
check
I'm
down.
Saying? And that's the key to just about every quarterback's their checkdowns. Like, that's why you got to like one of the greatest of all time in Tom Brady, man. He don't mind giving it to his checkdowns. I mean, when Flacco was at his finest, who he was throwing the ball to? Ray Rice, his checkdown. Mm-hmm. So he made that 5-yard gain turn into a 60-40-yard gain. And I understand that. But McCown right now, man, the man is on fire, man. You can't even deny it.
Well, look at I mean, as you can see.
That's a Johnny Manziel football right there.
That's right. He takes off with the football and runs it in there. He has pants that are brown on, and they say Browns on them, you know. He's doing it all.
He's trying to make them relevant, and I respect it, right? This guy comes out of
nowhere. The real Josh will come out, though.
No, he won't.
You can only stay hot for so long. That it will come out.
He was hot in Chicago.
He was hot in Chicago for, what, 12 games, something like that?
No. Lasted four games. Yeah. He was hot for.
No.
No.
It was about a 4-game run there. Now to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, like I say, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl without Jamal Charles, and I feel bad for Jamal Charles because he's a swell fellow, fun guy to talk to off the field, but also one of the great performers on the field. This probably scuttles any chance they had of getting back into the thing. But what is it like, MJD? It's not like being on a team that you knew going into the season was going to be crummy. This team probably had high hopes. They were sort of built. They finally get Jeremy Maclin. You think the passing game's going to improve. And here they are, more or less out of things in early October. What's that locker room like right now? How do you keep going when you have this many games left on the slate?
They still feel they have a chance. You know, you just got to get one victory. And that's what they're all worried about, doing the fundamentals, doing everything right. Defense has to pick it up. Special teams has to pick it up, knowing that you lost your key weapon on offense. Kelsey has to play better. Maclin has to play better. And then whoever's that running back, they have to go and tote this rock the right way. Alex Smith can't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I guess. But, Ike, what's it like if you find yourself in a position like – I mean, you were on the 0-4 Steelers. What was that, two seasons ago? What's the vibe in the locker room? Are people on the Lions, on the Chiefs, on the Dolphins, are they still having a conversation like, hey, listen, we're not out of this thing?
Coach T and staff still kept everything in-house. You know what I'm saying? Like, he kept telling us, hey, man, a lot of guys outside are going to throw y'all under the bus. But the only guys that can turn this around is the guys in this locker room. You know what I'm saying? You can go home to your wife. She's going to baby you. You can go home to your girlfriend, your grandma, your mom. They're going to tell you everything you need to hear, why it's not your fault. They're not in this locker room. They're not putting the time and effort on this field. I'm telling y'all, if we can just get one win, like MJD said, if we can just get one win, stick together, this season will turn around. It was one game short from turning the season around. But with KC, man, Alex Smith being Alex Smith with Jamal Charles. So now all of a sudden, man, Jamal Charles is gone. He's going to be different. No, he's been that same kind of guy with a dynamic running back. So he's the issue right now. Alex Smith is the issue right now.
Well, and the same you could say goes for Matt Stafford. Do you? I mean, the issue, you say, yeah, we just need to get a win. We need to be together. But surely as human beings, you know, I don't know, Golden Tate or somebody must be whispering to Calvin Johnson, like, you know, how are we ever going to win a game with Matt Stafford throwing the ball? Or maybe it's not the receivers, but maybe it's a player on defense. Maybe it's Haloti Ngata whispering it to Ziggy Ansah. We're doing our part, but, man, Stafford, doesn't that – that's got to happen, right?
It does, but at the same time, I mean, we have to understand that you have to do your job, right? Stafford's job is to not turn the ball over, get the ball to his playmakers. Golden Tate's job, get open. Calvin's job, get open. Haloti Ngata's job, stop the run, right? If we all do our job and focus on our job, even though we have other issues going on, focus on your job, you'll be fine.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, and that sounds good in a vacuum.
But that's how it is.
We see Sean Payton and Rob Ryan arguing on the sidelines. It seems like things start to come unhinged. It certainly did in Miami there. Do you have any high hopes now for Campbell's bunch to write this ship?
They just had the easy part of their schedule. I mean, no. The Dolphins may win 3 or 4 games this year.
Ike, you said something really interesting. The Houston Texans, another team that I was really high on going into the season, because really based on, what's that?
You're a Hard Knocks guy.
No. I really like this team because of Arian Foster. I like DeAndre Hopkins. When he was healthy, I liked him. I thought Ryan Mallett, you know, had the pedigree at least. And I just thought that Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt would eventually get to a point where they would be unstoppable as a duo. Instead, we see Denver doing that with their guys. But you said that, in fact, Matt Hasselbeck is the better option right now. You said – actually, I'm not going to steal your thunder.
Let him rock. Let Matt Hassel rock, man. He's been balling. Like, he's been doing one thing Andrew Luck can't do consistently, not turn the ball over, regardless on what you want to say. Yeah, he's going to be a dynamic or great – we want him to be a great quarterback in the league. But for now, man, is giving the Colts every opportunity to win the ball game. You know what I'm saying? So now the defense, as a defensive player, man, I'm looking at it like, man, this guy ain't turning the ball over. Hey, man, let's tighten up a little bit. Let's tighten up just a little bit. Give him enough to give us a chance to win the ball game. He's adjusting. He's making audibles. He's getting everybody. He's not staring one guy down. I mean, Andre Johnson, T.Y., Frank Gore had some screen plays. The running game came to effect. The tight end. So he's pretty much, he's managing, like we say, he's managing the game, but he's doing a great job of it. By not turning the ball over, you're not giving the opposing team
It really is
options.
Interesting the way Andrew Luck now has been turning over the ball so much. But do you agree, Handsome, with what Ike said is that the Colts wouldn't have won that game last Thursday if Andrew Luck were the starter?
I agree. If he played the way he played up until then, yeah, no doubt. Then he'd have turned the ball over 2 or 3 times during the game. They wouldn't have won that game. But going forward, you've got to hope that Andrew Luck does get better. That's what we all expect him.
Right.
On the other hand, a guy like Matt Stafford, I think you've seen, at this point in his career, MJD gave me the business about $100 million quarterbacks last week or 2 weeks ago with Ryan Tannehill. Matt Stafford, you've seen enough at this point to know that Matt Stafford, and it's a tough decision for a team like the Lions to make. You invested the overall first pick on this guy. He's not going to get you any further than he has done already. He's taking you to the playoffs. And if that's the extent of your ambition, then great, you stick with Matt Stafford. But he's never, ever going to get you beyond that.
Yeah, that's clear. And MJD, you know, Matt, the thing that was intriguing also about Matt Hasselbeck is he had a bacterial infection. And it reminded me, if I were sick, did you ever go and play sick? Because if you just make the other team know that you have a cold or something, maybe they don't want to tackle you and catch your cold. That's a good strategy.
Not at all.
No,
you might as well go out there and not put on any deodorant then.
You know what? I've said that as well. Why not go out there? Don't shower for a whole week. Stink so badly, no one would want to tackle you.
Your tape is your walking, talking, breathing resume. I mean, what you put on tape is you.
It's true.
That's all you got.
Well, not if you have stink fumes coming off you. That would also be on the tape, wouldn't it?
Can't see him though.
We're talking about cartoons.
Oh, that's right. I'm getting confused between reality and cartoons. Right. Now let's talk some reality from someone who lived it for 12 years, the cornerback, the shutdown corner for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor. Lay it on us. It's always interesting to hear from an expert on these things. Your best cornerbacks. We got into it on Sunday because, again, we were talking Legion of Boom against Andy Dalton. 14 had his way against that secondary in the second half. Rank for us now. I asked you the question. Richard Sherman, is he still in that conversation for best corner? Give me your top five.
I got him at number 2. I got Revis at number 1. I got Richard Sherman at number 2. mean, I got Pat Peterson at number two. I got Richard Sherman at number three. Josh Norman slid up there at number four. And Chris Harris Jr., man, quietly. I know we talk about Khalib a lot, but quietly, man, he's been putting up solid seasons. You can just ask some of his teammates. I asked Tony Carter, who used to play for the Denver Broncos. He agrees with me, like, Chris Harris, man, he's kind of the man over there. You know what I mean, they're willing to match up between whoever they play because of Chris Harris. So these top five guys so far, man, I mean, repeat offenders and Sherman, Peterson, and Revis, Norman jumping to the building. Harris, I feel like last year he was underrated like Grimes. He slid into my top five. These guys, you know, they make things happen on their defense.
And why do you like Patrick Peterson more than Richard Sherman, who is moving around a little bit more than he used to?
I mean, they're making Sherman move around because they feel like Kerry Williams can't really get the job done. So it's kind of unfair to Richard because Richard is known to sit on one side, lock that one side, make it turn somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? But for Patrick Peterson, man, since he was a baby, since he was a pup, he didn't came into the game, and he's traveled against the team's best receiver. So wherever A.J. Green lined up, Patrick Peterson is going to line up. And, of course, man, you would figure, man, my offensive guy, the game is towards the receiver. So it's hard to lock down these receivers and consistently. Don't forget, he's young. Like, Patrick Peterson is young. He ain't number 24, 25. So he's still got a $100 million contract waiting on him. And, by the way, man, the man plays punt returner, all-pro punt returner, too. So just a guy who's built like LeBron James, but he plays football and cornerback. I like him. I worked out with this guy a lot, not taking anything other than Richard Sherman. Man, Richard Sherman, he made a lot of money for himself. He's been one of the reasons why the Legion of Boom been the Legion of Boom. He feels that kind of way. He got the Tom Brady syndrome. Man, y'all got me late. So now I feel like y'all got a steal. So now I'm going to show the world why I should have got drafted early, and I respect that.
Do you think, though, that is it to my untrained eye, it seems like Patrick Peterson is playing a little bit better this year than he has the last couple of years. True, MJD?
No, definitely. I think he has more confidence. Early on, I mean, he was getting kind of, people were throwing at him. He was getting picked on a little bit. You got to have that confidence. Somewhere along the line, he regained that, and that's what it is. Right now, though, Richard Sherman is not a really, it's not a good slot nickel corner. He doesn't play well in that tight area, and that's where people are starting to expose him.
Leave him outside. I mean, Sherman made his name by staying outside, man. Lead the man outside.
What is it like, Ike, to – are you born with it, or do you learn to have it as you go along in the NFL? The guy – you're tasked with being – you are our corner. You're getting the number one every week. And I don't think Richard Sherman gets that every week. Patrick Peterson does, though, and Darrell Revis does.
Man, you got to have that confidence. It's a mentality, man. Like I said, either it can lengthen your career or shorten your career by being a cornerback and holding it down at the cornerback position. But you got to mentally be built for that. Everybody mentally ain't built for that. A lot of people want it and wants the money that comes with it. But, man, playing corner and knowing that's probably the team's first option from snap in to snap out, depending on who the running back is, man, that's a hard task, man. That's the one thing Coach T and the staff liked about me, man. You didn't know if I was having a good day or a bad day. I was going to be the same regardless. But mentally, man, I was just built for that. You know what I'm saying? I look at my childhood and the way I was raised and the guys who brought me up, they trained my mind mentally to be built for that. So the challenges I had in football, man, I appreciate them. But playing that cornerback position, man, traveling from receiver to receiver, everybody's not built for that.
Are you surprised, Handsome, by this list? Does this fit? Because fans, we like to sit around and do that, and we cite our favorite player, like Brent Grimes isn't on this list. Does this stack up from your perception of how the fans that you see, does that list sort of reflect where
our heads
are?
I always wonder whether Revis is really good. I just don't know if he's definitely number one, or a lot of it is on reputation because people aren't necessarily throwing his way anyway.
Y'all tried him in London.
Well, yeah.
There's a reason why you don't throw his way.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I didn't know if that was, you know, that's whether he should be number one. The other
so
name
who,
I
who
really
would you
like,
have at number one?
I would have him at number one. I'm not saying he shouldn't be. Okay. I'm just wondering, like, do teams just not ever take a risk against him?
They try and they look over though. But when you got a guy that's close to a receiver and really understands the game, his IQ, this all I want to say people don't give Revis. His IQ level at playing that cornerback position is probably bar none. You know what I'm saying? So it's a reason why a third and short situation, he has that natural Superman instinct, that sixth sense. You know what I'm saying? And everybody doesn't have that. That's why I'll put Revis at number one.
With a corner, there must be a time where there's like a legacy of just don't look his way, you know, one of these top guys. And then eventually it's like, okay, we, you know, maybe there's a six-month overlap between when they're maybe not playing their best, but people still don't go that direction.
Handsome Hank, they watch tape.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So as a fan, you might say you might not think he should be number one, but as an offensive coordinator, you're watching countless hours of tape and like, man, this guy is sticky on every coverage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he, by the way, have good ball skills. You know, so it's a reason why they're not throwing the guys away. Yeah, we've been watching on tape. I might look over there or I might try Revis a few times, but I'm not going to game plan and just say, hey, man, we're going against Revis. For one, that's very disrespectful. For two, we've been watching tape.
Well, you're going to try him early in the game. You're going to do something where you've seen him get beat on it to see if he still has it, right? So we've played Revis before, and he got beat on a double move post, and we tried it. And it didn't work.
Didn't work. Hmm.
And so we stopped trying stuff on him.
You got to be your best scout. When playing corner, you got to scout yourself. Like, during the week, I used to scout myself. I used to tell, at one time, I wasn't giving up the deep ball. So I said, man, they starting to back shoulder fade. So I told Brian Leff, hey, B. Leff, man, throw me a lot of back shoulder fades in practice. So I was able to get my head around. I was able to position myself. You got to be your own worst critic. You got to be your own best scout. You got to scout yourself ahead. When it comes down to football in general, especially playing that cornerback mm-hmm. position.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I've said it a million times. I'll say it for the million and first. It's not just superior athleticism. It is also a belief that I know nothing about, a belief in oneself that I am with which I am not familiar. Like, I'm a head case at all times. You, the ability to just wash your hands of what just happened and keep on moving is another distinction
we
between.
We saw that when Big Ben went down. You just lost it.
I did.
The show
did.
Went down.
I fell apart.
Mentally,
everything.
You lost the
everything fell apart because of you.
I'm still not right about all that. Josh Norman, Ike, though, you like him. You feel he's on the rise.
Last year, man, towards the end of last year, you really started to see him emerge. This year, he really established himself. Small school guy, have a lot of confidence. He feel like he got a lot to prove. So we will see, man. All he had to do is just be consistent. Hopefully, he won't be these 1.5, 2-hit wonders. But he's great on instincts, reading the ball, and catching, of course. He's high on confidence. To play corner, you got to have a lot of confidence, and this guy does.
Ike Taylor incarnate. He's Ike Taylor 2.0, in my opinion, MJD.
For one, my body is built way better than that. Uh-huh. For two, I like my physique. 3, man, I'm a solid tackler. 2, I won 2 Super Bowls and played.
Don't forget, you're
years.
Also number 4 on Rhoda's list, though.
Yeah, that's cool. I can work on that.
It's cool? I don't know if it is cool. MJ, so there is Ike's top 5 corners. Next week, I want to get into MJD's running backs who are in the zone. That was an interesting thing that came up, is that just like quarterbacks are great perimeter shooters in basketball, running backs also can find themselves into the zone. We're going to break down who's in the zone. All right, last thing is I wanted to ask you guys, Rhoda kind of got into it. I say I have low self-esteem. I'm curious, where do you rank yourself among all the people you know? I'm going to start with you, MJD.
I don't know. I don't know a lot of people.
Are you number
people?
One?
Like famous people or
not just, famous just people? No, people. Human beings.
Based on what? What are we about? What, yeah. what
I don't
you,
know. I rank myself in my, like, I'm about, like, on my list of people I know, I'm probably about 20, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't.
You got to believe in yourself.
That's pretty
good.
I'm in the top 20 of all the human beings I know. That's not so bad. Maybe 20, 25 range.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm competing to be in top 5. Really? I don't know if I'm there, but I'm competing to be there.
Good for you.
And my dog is helping me out.
Is there a famous person that you like better than yourself?
I don't like anyone better than myself.
But
Ike is like the next. Right
really?
There. Yeah, he's like right there.
Isn't that nice? It really is lovely. You know, you guys both just hang them up. Who knows what's going to happen for anybody, the great unknown when you retire from pro football, the spotlight and everything else. You come out here, you guys are both doing gangbusters work for NFL media, and on top of it, you found each other. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's a true live story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you also found me in Handsome Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably for those guys less good. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, speak for yourself. It's I think perfect. It's terrific.
I think you it's guys should do like a kid's book together, like Ike and MJD do, and then it would be like things that you might do, like go to the zoo.
I'll tell you what, man. If we had a camera 24/7, mm-hmm. it would sell.
Ike, where do you rank yourself in the top?
Top 3 for sure.
Top 3?
Yeah, I feel like from Miss Rhoda, I feel like I got a lot to work on. You know what I'm saying? So I got to go out on and get to work.
Palomalu ahead of you or no?
Oh, yeah, TP always.
He's number one.
Yeah, TP always going to be ahead of me. It's just, he's just that kind of guy. He's a flesh angel. It's how I look at TP, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like I got a lot to work on. But one thing I do have is a lot of confidence in myself. You can drop me anywhere in the world, and I'm going to come out on
top. Apparently, you don't have any confidence in your pal Dave's ability to keep a secret.
No, you really...
Nobody does.
Well, nobody does.
I don't know where that came from.
On this panel, nobody has
I think it's
the confidence.
Handsome Hank, how say you? Where do you rank yourself?
I mean, it's a difficult one. I would say, you know, now that I've met these two, they're in the 25 people I know. I've sunk down a couple more spots. I'm still ahead of you.
Why would you say that?
Stop it.
Can I say something? By the way, you put Rhoda on blast this a minute ago. Like, that's what we're talking about. How are you going to put her out in front of everybody? And
I didn't
that's
know
why
that.
Dave is so far down his own list, because he's a bad person.
Yeah. Oh, you're a bad person. Some people like bad guys.
Never wrong being a joker. I like the Joker. Joker's one of my favorite characters. You are the Joker.
You know what? Time for the Sheck report this week. I wish I had time to update it, because the three of you would all be on it. Believe in me, keep a secret. All right. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, Handsome Hank, here's your Sheck report.
Damn a Sheck, damn a Sheck, David, damn a Sheck.
Congratulations, Dave, you've done it once again. Hey, look, we're back in Studio 66, and now we are joined by the heroes from around the NFL, the podcast, the tremendous pages, always delivered with a bit of mirth. All your pro football news around the NFL at NFL.com. The boss, Greg Rosenthal, and the host of the three times a week, Dan Hanzus of the podcast, I should say, the host of the podcast. Mm. Dan Hanzus, what's the poop, fellas? How are we?
Great. It's great to be back. This is becoming a regular type thing.
I like just the afterglow coming off you today after that Steelers victory Monday night.
Well, it was exhilarating, and I feel like it makes up for TNF a week and a half ago. I think that's one Pittsburgh should have had, and this is one perhaps they shouldn't have had, given the way Mike Vick played. He, after all, did throw three passes that really should have not just been picked off, two of which should have been taken to the house.
The game felt over. When they were down 7 points, I was like, well, that's it. There's no way Michael Vick's scoring 7 points. He's had 3.5 quarters, and he scored three so far.
Yes, and Dan Hanzus, I don't know if he got to enjoy any of it because he was at a family reunion, huh?
I was. I was actually in your home state of Pennsylvania with the rest of my mother's side of the family. It was glorious, but I watched a lot of football.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, good. Then this is the place to be, because let's talk about pro football. Week five now fully in the books. And I think this is a time to visit this. I'm sure you guys probably do know the numbers. How long has it been since this many teams were undefeated after week five?
1941.
Oh, good. Good. See,
Ian just likes making up stuff. Yeah. He said the Raiders were 3-1, or they were trying to be 3-1 for the first time since 1912.
Nobody checks it except for like four people on Twitter.
That's so right.
What's the point?
This has never happened before, to answer your question. It's the most 4-0 teams ever, and if the Patriots...
Is that right?
It was the most 4-0 teams ever, and this would be the most 5-0, assuming if the Patriots can get another win.
Well, so now there are six teams still unblemished, and Elliot Harrison does his power rankings for all the NFL. Let's focus on the good ones, though, because we're front runners after all. So let's rank them here. First of all, here are Damashek's rankings of the undefeated teams, the power rankings. The Packers, as you know, the public is starting to catch on to the fact that defense looks different than it has in the last couple of years. That's all the difference. By the way, I have to say it again. You know I always praise Aaron Rodgers, but again, let's remember in August the devastation that with no Jordy Nelson. Well, that probably scuttles any chances they have of making a Super Bowl run. It has been a complete non-factor. The Patriots dominant once again, inexplicably.
Why is it inexplicable?
I'll tell you why. But the Bengals and the Broncos down there, they just don't have an offense. Here's Rosenthal.
Shocker that Dave found a way to bury Peyton Manning's team.
I'm sorry that Peyton Manning has been the worst starting quarterback so far this year.
It's Dave's life's work.
I at least put them in the middle of the pack because they've got the best defense in the entire league. That's
true.
Better than anything Carolina has or anything Atlanta has. So they're fourth. I got the Bengals as my number two team behind.
But Carolina has one of the top three or four defenses, and they have an offense that actually can make some some special plays.
Let's see Carolina play a quarterback better than Ryan Mallett. That's like the best quarterback they face so far. It's a very good defense, but let's see him play someone else. Not a good offense.
I can't wait to see the Falcons and Panthers hook up. You talk about the styles. It really is Frazier v. Ali. You know, all offense versus all defense. And here's Hanzus's board here. Mm.
All right, I got the Patriots at 1, and it's because they're going to go like 15-1 probably. Or maybe even 16-0, which would just be horrendous if we have to deal with that garbage again. But I think that it would be stunning if they lose more than
Why do I take such grief for being a so-called Peyton hater, which is bogus, but Hanzus is allowed
Here's
to say
the difference, Dave.
It would be awful.
He owns it. He
I
owns
own it,
it
Dave, and yeah. you do not own the Peyton hate.
Yeah,
I don't hate Peyton.
He fully admits he hates how great a quarter coach that Bill Belichick
yeah, it's,
is.
The fact that he was my coach for a few minutes before resigning as HC. But so we got the Patriots 1, the Packers are 2. And then, if I may, on my most recent end-around column,
Whoa.
I did a head coaching body rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Dan Campbell at number 1, interim Ooh. Dolphins coach. And then I left multiple spots vacant out of deference to Campbell's bod. This is what I would do with the power rankings here. I would leave multiple spots empty, then the Bengals, Broncos, Falcons and Panthers, NFC South, I'm not buying you yet. Start playing some real teams. So that's where my
What do the Bengals have to do? I mean, I put them number 2 because they have been essentially perfect this year.
You know, as you know, on our podcast, I've always been a defender of Andy Dalton, but I'm hedging my bets a little bit. You got to be a little bit careful. It's still early in the season. It doesn't feel that way, but it is.
That is correct. Even though, yes, this feels like a breakthrough for 14 in orange, it isn't necessarily. We're still just in early October. Let's wait to see a little bit further before we decide that Andy Dalton definitely can win a Super Bowl. Rosenthal, do you think that's a possibility?
That's fine, but I thought the power rankings are what's going on right now.
And
you take that Dalton name off the back of his jersey. He is playing close to as well as Brady and Rodgers are playing right now, which seems outrageous, and he's getting more support, I guess, around him. But that's how well he's played. I would put him right there in the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks so far.
Here's the thing that the reason I say to go back to the Patriots, why I find it weirdly sort of unsatisfying what they're doing. I feel like
shocking.
No, listen to what I'm saying. I think Tom Brady is dynamite. You know, I still say when it's all said and done, Aaron Rodgers will go down as the best of all time, but Tom Brady is currently the greatest quarterback in the history of pro football, I think, including Joe Montana in that conversation, or at least to the Super Bowl era. I don't care what happened in the 40s, unlike Dan Hanzus, apparently. Here's what's weird about it is that it sort of guts the importance of the draft and free agency and everything else that happens. Because when you look at the Patriots roster, you think, well, this doesn't make any sense. It feels like smoke and mirrors year after year after year. Finally, well, that team's built and that they're so loaded, they'll take down the Patriots. And yet it just keeps on going. And I think it has to do with 12 more than it does Belichick. Yes.
I agree with that. But, you know, we're watching those highlights. Julian Edelman, I mean, he's making those moves in the open field. He's a great receiver.
Here's the other thing
about
Lewis
is a great player.
Deion Lewis, this is a credit to the Patriots. Like, Deion Lewis drops out of nowhere and is now like a top 3 all-purpose back in the NFL. So you're adding him into an already great offense with two historical talents in Brady and Gronk.
That's the baffling part of the Patriots. We sit around all day. And listen, call me pretentious. Dave, you don't really know what you're talking about. There are keen football minds looking at these things, and it makes no sense that Deion Lewis.
Well,
it's weirdly unsatisfying. Like, you can't assess why they're so good year after year after year.
I mean, even the Patriots didn't know what they had. He was the number 6 running back in their rotation to start. He's behind guys like James White and Brandon Bolden, and they give him a chance, and he's the best running back they've had since Corey Dillon. It's not even close.
Julian Edelman, it's just very weird. Very weird stuff, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe the back end of that defense will be their undoing when the games get tougher and tougher into December and January, assuming they make the playoffs. We'll see if they do.
That's safe.
Hey, another team that looks like they're destined to be playing in January once again, but this time with their starting QB, the Arizona Cardinals. Let's fill in the blank here. The Arizona Cardinals are better than... Wait. I'm sorry. Let me read it off the screen there. The Cardinals are the blank best team in the NFL. Dan Hanzus, I start with you.
They are the... Well, I got to think, you know. I was... Third best team in the NFL right now.
Third best.
Okay, third best.
So you're going to slot them.
I would slot them behind the Packers and Patriots. Yeah, I think they're better than any of those other undefeated teams beside the ones I just mentioned. They're loaded. I think Wes pointed out, Chris Wessling, that they've outscored their opponents by 100 points already this season. They're great on both sides of the ball. This team is loaded.
Rosie.
I'm saying they're the second best team in the NFL. Maybe just because Wes is so strong with his conviction, he's convinced me. I think if you put them on a neutral field, I'd take them over the Packers right now. I think their offense is deeper. Green Bay's offense, I mean, it's great. They have Aaron Rodgers. He's obviously much better than Carson Palmer. But overall, I think the Cardinals' offense is better. They're deeper.
Two things. First of all, those two teams will not get to play on a neutral site. So let's play into reality. What if they're in Lambeau in a big game or if they're in Arizona?
I would take the home team in either case. And I think they'll have a chance to get home field. I don't think Green Bay is going to rip off 16 straight wins. I just think they're going to end up having three or four losses, and Arizona could wind up getting that one seed.
I don't think we'll ever see the Cardinals get blown out by anybody if they're healthy this year. So they could beat anybody.
I feel like, you know, we talk about Andy Dalton, and this looks like, and really we're making a decision now. Have we seen enough in 2015 to believe that this is a different guy than what we saw previously? That's 5 weeks. I feel like that's not a big enough sample size to ultimately anoint him as, I'm not going to use the superlative, but you know what it is. It starts with an E and ends with an E. But, you know, let's call it super duper.
Okay.
He's not in the super duper category just yet. But the trend that has gone on long enough for me is Bruce Arians is a great head coach. And I feel like we're still reluctant to fully embrace that this Cardinals team can do damage, but given, and they, you know, they haven't really.
Not in this room. Look at that graphic. We got them as the best team in the league.
I've got them as the third best. Okay. I'm going to put them behind the Packers. I think the Packers would beat them in a head-to-head in the postseason. But nonetheless, this Bruce Arians thing, you know, Jim Harbaugh was getting a lot more attention and affection and praise in year two in San Francisco than it seems like Bruce Arians. Why do we suppose that is? Is it because they haven't won a postseason game? I guess that would be a fair reason.
Because they're the Cardinals. Because they're the, you know, most forgettable franchise in the league, and they haven't really done anything other than that one Super Bowl run. But what he's doing is unbelievable. They lose Todd Bowles to your Jets. He looks like a great head coach. Doesn't matter. They lose a lot of their front seven. Doesn't matter. They bring in Chris Johnson. That's the most unbelievable thing that's happened in the entire league this year.
I think he's number three in rushing now.
Made him a star again.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Steelers, it must hurt you. I know you're happy with Mike Tomlin, but to kind of push that guy out the door and then find out years later he's amongst, if not the best coach not named Belichick right now, that's hurt.
Tried to retire him early. The Steelers are the classiest organization. They stand by their coaches forever. Hey, Bruce, we're going to say you retire even though you don't want to.
Bruce, you're 36. You're out of the league.
How is that classy?
Settle down. Settle down, Rosenthal. There's no reason to take pot shots at the black and gold. But you're right. They did. They announced his retirement for him, and then about 10 days later, he resurfaces in Indianapolis. Wait, I don't...
Isn't that the least classy move ever?
Right.
You're deciding a man's life.
Wait a second. This gives me an idea. Hey, black tie, put together a press release of your own retirement.
Oh.
He resurfaces at the worldwide leader, somewhere like that. Starts running SportsCenter. Who knows? Another trend that is interesting is that, and we talked about it with Handsome, Ike, and MJD. Your thoughts on this? It's easy to say that the team that has two losses or more that is better than their record is the Seahawks, but I'm curious. A trend that is an ugly one for the vaunted defense, the unbeatable shutdown defense. They lost that game to Green Bay in the clink, really. A series of random flukes really went against the Packers, or else they would have lost that game. They go to the Super Bowl. They have a 10-point lead. They lose that in the fourth quarter and lose the Super Bowl. They lose to dirty Nick Foles in week one. Mm. They should have lost to the Lions. Mm. They do lose a 17-point lead to Andy Dalton, who may or may not be great. Either way, they blew that lead. Is that a disturbing trend by your book, or is it something that we'll have forgotten about by Thanksgiving?
It's absolutely disturbing. And they did it to the Packers, too. That game was tied in Lambeau going into the fourth quarter. This is supposed to be the best defense we've seen in the last 15, 20 years. And the defense, more than the offense, has blown, what, four or five of the last six, seven games?
That was the Bengals game specifically was really troubling. But, again, like we were saying earlier, it's still early. It's still early October, mid-October. I would look at their schedule, home to Panthers, at Niners, at Cowboys, probably without Romo, and then they have a Sunday night game against the Cardinals in their building, which will be a great game. I wouldn't be surprised if they were 5-3 heading into that game. So I'm not worried about them, and I do think they are easily the team with the worst record that's I'm not worried about.
That's your choice.
Yes.
The team with two losses or more that's better than their record.
Yeah,
it's going to be in the mix come January.
I think they'll get picked off in the playoffs this year before the Super Bowl, but I think they'll go into the playoffs in good position still.
Rosie, how say you? I mean, which team that is currently not in our little precious power rankings?
Seahawks are easy, but I'm going to go the Rams.
I mean, you could be cute and go the Rams. I'm just going the team that actually makes sense.
The Seahawks make sense. The Rams make sense. The Rams beat the Seahawks. The Rams beat the Cardinals, who we just were talking about. They're not going to be a great team, but I think they're still going to get to 10 wins. I think with Gurley now, that makes their offense difference. When they're at home, that defense just flies around. They are as talented in the front seven, I think, as any team in the league. So I'm going
the praise of that defense has now become an old story, but the Todd Gurley emergence, really, you have to harken back maybe to, and I'm probably skipping some big names here, but you almost have to harken back to the L.A. Rams when Eric Dickerson made the scene, because it's not like this is a young runner in Todd Gurley that looks good and, boy, he's going to be a dominant runner for years to come. This isn't Eddie Lacy or Lev Bell, two recent breakout runners. This is a guy who, from the time he stepped on the field, is gashing teams for 50 yards every time not every time he touches the ball, but there are a couple of those runs every game. I know it's only three into his career now. Nonetheless, but with him and Tavon Austin now.
They're getting Austin into the mix. I like the fact that they got rid of Brian Schottenheimer helps them a little bit. Their defense
still got
great
Nick Foles, though, and we just saw what happened with Nick
Foles. He's the bugaboo
for
that.
He's the problem,
team.
And we see it every year, every season, doesn't matter. If you don't have a quarterback, you're done.
But I do think, not unlike, I guess, the Carolina Panthers, who, let's not sleep on the greatness of that defense, they have one special playmaker on the other side of the thing in Cam Newton. Between Gurley and Tavon Austin, they might have just enough to get. You get a couple plays when you have a dominant defense, as the Broncos prove. You know, they're scratching out, what, 13, right. 17 points on offense a week. If you get a couple plays, that can be enough.
That's how they beat the Cardinals. They just asked Foles to make two or three big throws, and he hit him that game. I mean, in Green Bay, he had no chance.
The NFC, let me just say this to you guys, is it's intriguing if we assume that Atlanta and Carolina, it's a big assumption, but let's assume those two teams will both wind up in the playoffs. So that's one of your wild cards. Now, and if we assume Arizona takes that division, and
that's early
the Packers take theirs. Well, I'm obviously jumping to some conclusions here, but now the mix for that six seed or the five seed, one of the two wild cards, comes down to the Rams, maybe the Seahawks, the Vikings, and then, you know, Romo and Dez, I feel like, I know the defense looked all right against the Patriots, but if we write them off, my pick, the Philadelphia Eagles. I think
as a wild card.
Yeah, I'm gonna take them as a wild card and say that the Giants will hold on to win that division. Then again, maybe the Eagles will take the East overall.
You're saying Seattle's not making the playoffs?
If you put that all together, that's what he's saying.
I suppose that is what I'm saying. Program because here's why.
Wow.
Let me say
Chiefs
something.
Said this what? Last season as well.
What's that, Black Tie?
Exact same thing last season as well.
You also had the all Chiefs right. in the Super Bowl this year. Is that true?
Yeah, but Jamal Charles got hurt, so I'm off the hook on that one.
How about your producer, by the way? During our show Sunday, he got in my ear and wanted me to point out that was your Super Bowl show.
Black Tie.
You weren't even in the show.
For some reason, Black Tie takes the greatest pleasure of all, outside of listening to movie soundtracks, his greatest pleasure in life is denouncing me and putting a spotlight on my music.
Hey, that's Damon Sheck's Super Bowl pick. You want to point that out?
That feels personal.
It is personal. There's no two ways about it.
I keep trying to warn you, and you keep making them. It's like, dude, slow down.
Wow.
Jay Cutler is not the MVP. Chiefs are not going to win the Super Bowl.
By the way, just so you know, on our show, when we had a predictions episode, and TD predicted that Calvin Johnson was going to have like 25 touchdowns.
That was last season.
Okay.
And then he got hurt.
He got hurt too. That's the old Backdoor excuse.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Back to our conversation, please. The grown-ups are talking black tie. We don't need your petty interruptions. The Eagles, and I think it was a significant moment that Chip Kelly. For all the negative stuff, and that's a terrible place to be if things are going south on you with the local media, and you hear the whispers in the locker room. There are doubts about that. I thought that was huge. When Sam Bradford threw his second interception of the day in the end zone on Sunday, mm-hmm. I declared, well, clearly they're going to switch to Sanchez. They can't continue to do this sort of thing. And yet he came back with Bradford. The next drive, they get it in the end zone, and then the roll begins. I think this is a critical moment in the season for the Eagles, and I think they keep on rolling.
I agree with all that, but I can't imagine more than one team making it out of that division.
Maybe they take the division.
And I've also already heard too many times this season, well, the Phillies' offense really looked good in the second half. Maybe they're going to turn the corner finally, and then fast forward to the next week, and they're back in the hole
again. You know what the other factor is for the Eagles? Sneaky... good defense. Sneaky, decent
pretty good
defense. They can take the ball away. They're a 21st century defense. They don't dominate you, but they do take
so
the ball away a little bit. No, you know what? I'm scratch my thoughts. You put me on the spot. I wasn't thinking it through. Okay. Eagles win the division. Giants just miss. I go Falcons or Panthers get one wild card. The Seahawks get the other wild card.
That makes sense.
Here's the other thing real quick with the NFC West. On the Rams, they already have wins against the Cardinals at Arizona and against the Seahawks. That ain't jive. If they just take care of business against the 49ers with Jeff Fisher, teams don't always beat who they're supposed to beat, witness the D.C. loss. You know, that team, by the way, would be a great story right now, and America would be fully on the Rams bandwagon if they would have just taken care of D.C.
I thought you were going to say if they just played in Los Angeles.
Right. I thought that's where you're going to.
No, I'm looking
even
forward
St.
to that.
Louis Todd isn't on that bandwagon.
There's going to be a lot of Todd Gurley jerseys in this region. I got a feeling.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead, Rosenthal.
No, I was saying the same thing. That's all that's got. I mean, in St. Louis, they don't even care about the Rams. Why should the rest of America?
Oh, all right. See, it's
wow. That's how we're going to end it?
That's the sour note we're going to go
out. Put me on the spot.
Yeah. All right. Black Tie, get in here. I have something for you. Get over here. And thanks to Rosenthal, Han Zeus, MJD, Handsome Hank, Ike Taylor for joining us. And, Black Tie, I wanted to give you something here.
Find out more on the next DDFP.